One of them was the challenge of Karaism. Karaism was a spin-off of Judaism, and this was a group that raised serious challenges to the authority of the rabbis and of rabbinic Judaism and the whole essence of the idea of an oral Torah alongside a written one. They claimed that a loyalty to the Bible, to the text alone, is what is required, and everything else has absolutely no basis in the Bible itself. However, some Karaites went even further by raising questions regarding the role of God in creation, and they suggested something of a mediation of angels, even in the process of creation. And this, of course, was a very, very dangerous idea for the rabbis, because it suggested all sorts of other powers that exist, and it's not just man opposite God. In a way, by removing, as some Karaites did, by removing God from an active interest in this world, they possibly might have been conjuring up ancient Sadducean teachings. These were teachings that we discussed in an earlier lecture of God being removed from this world. But Saadia had another challenge that he had to address, and that was the discovery by Arab thinkers of his day of the Greek philosophical discourse and their application of rational thought processes to the examination of religious truths. This scholastic theology was known as Kalam, and it serves as the background for Saadia's major philosophical work, which is a book known as The Beliefs and Opinions. In Hebrew, Emunot V'Deot. Although he wrote the book in Arabic, but it was then translated into Hebrew. And this is the first rational or philosophical defense of Judaism that we have in our possession. In many ways, it's the earliest example of a systematic Jewish theology. Saadia distinguished between those beliefs that are the fruits of a rational thinking, of reason, of what we might call philosophical contemplation, and those truths that can only be achieved through revelation. And for Saadia, these two, revelation and reason, are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they are complementary. And what Saadia goes about doing is really arguing that one should employ philosophical thought in understanding, in achieving a deeper understanding, even of Jewish, of all the aspects of Jewish religion, so that he's using the Greek mode of thought and applying it to his own world. And he did not consider this as undermining a belief in the Bible. In fact, Saadia was known to have given a very interesting example of how this supports a belief in the Bible. He tells the story, or rather the parable, of a man who was shown a pile of coins. And he was told by the person showing him the coins, "You should know the number of coins here is such and such." Now, Saadia says we have no reason to disbelieve that person. Why would he make up a lie? But if we count the coins ourselves, we will achieve a degree of certainty that we did not have prior to this. And so what he's suggesting is, yes, we have a heritage, we have an inherited heritage, but what's wrong with examining that using logic as well? If we can, and he is convinced that we can, in fact, support that inherited belief, as it were, we can support it through theological or philosophical contemplation. And so he tries to prove God's creation of the world using rational deduction. And he was clearly responding in this to fears that rational argumentation would challenge faith. Greek philosophy was then mediated by Arab authors, and it spread throughout the world. And some Jews became very well versed in this scholarship, but they felt a need to reply. And the greatest of these presenters of a Jewish philosophy, and maybe the greatest thinker in all of Jewish history, was Moses Maimonides. Maimonides was born in Cordoba, in Spain, in 1135, but at the age of 13, his family was forced to leave Spain, and they traveled through North Africa. Ultimately, they arrive in the old city of Cairo, known as Fostat, and it's in that city that Maimonides will live until his death in the year 1204. When he arrives in Cairo, he becomes one of the leaders of the community. He had since studied medicine, and he was appointed the official physician of the local vizier of Saladin. And as a result, he was a very prominent man, not just in the Jewish community, but in the general community as well. He wasn't only a great philosopher.